So it's really helping people find what they enjoy in regards to movement, in regards to fitness.
Hi, everybody. I'm Jay Croft, and welcome to the Optimal Aging Podcast, where we discuss the business of exercise, healthy living, and well-being for people 50 and over. Each week, we explore what healthy living means for millions of people over age 50 and what's coming next, with a focus on communications, content, and making powerful connections.
There's a cute reason why Orange Shoe Fitness has its name, and the company, based in the Midwest, is smart to repeat it. See, the founder was a pharmaceutical rep who always wore his favorite pair of bright orange shoes. He said they made him feel confident. They probably also gave his prospects and clients something to remember him by, right? Well, one day, Josh Martin realized something important about the medicine he was selling. It was used to help people feel better after they'd become sick. He wondered, what if he could do something to help prevent disease to start with? And from that, Orange Shoe began back in 2004. And now its leaders, Scott and Katie Michelle, are part of a growing chain that recently opened its 11th Midwestern location, this one in Chicago. Scott joins the Optimal Aging Podcast this week, and I love his take on keeping fitness fun, building relationships, and nurturing a positive environment for clients. He says, it's a people business before it's a push-up business. Indeed it is, Scott. And here's my conversation with Scott Michelle of Orange Shoe Fitness.
Hi, Scott. Nice to see you. Thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me, Jay.
You bet. I'm excited to talk to you and learn more about Orange Shoe and the adventure that you're on there in the Midwest with your now 11 studios. That's really terrific. Tell us a little bit about your story and how you got involved with this. I know you've been at it for more than 15 years now, right?
So, you know, it was... Went to UW La Crosse for exercise sports science and, you know, did the whole education degree and strength conditioning concentration. Just loved moving. I could never see myself sitting, you know, for 8 hours. I just had to be moving, one of those types of people. And then right out of school, I got a teaching position. So I was teaching elementary kids and it was very much a part-time position. So by the time I paid my union dues and put gas in my car, I was about break even. I think I was a little bit in the red. So I had to pick up some other jobs and Orange Shoe was just starting up and my wife had applied and she got hired and they had an opening for a training position. So I started training cause I was certified and that was back in 2004. And you know, it was fun. It was just normal people coming in. It was no, you know, it was just, everybody was very supportive. It was kind of before like the boutiques really started to kind of hit the scene. Like there's definitely the big boxes were still the main players in the fitness arena. And it was just fun knowing everybody and getting to develop those relationships. So, you know, after about a couple years of training and moving up and taking on more responsibility, we bought that original location. And then the founder started opening up other locations in the Madison, Wisconsin area. And, you know, we owned a studio for 10 years and had our kind of grown the team and the team took over that location. And we ended up taking over the entire organization about 4 years ago. And I think there were six studios then. And, you know, we just opened up the 11th one down in Chicago last month. So,
hey, fantastic. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks.
So the founder had an interesting statement when he started it or about what the, how he got into it. Tell us a little bit about the creation of Orange Shoe and how you've guided that through to today.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So Josh Martin was the founder selling pharmaceuticals that were for the most part preventable disease, you know, like high cholesterol, diabetes, you know, all those types of things. And he was making great money, but it was just wasn't fulfilling. So he was like, hey, what if we get on the proactive, the preventable side of health and wellness? And at that time, the gyms were just kind of like, you know, the big box gyms, the knuckle dragger trainers that just like were negative 4% body fat. And I remember, you know, it just wasn't anything that made you feel comfortable as a normal human being on planet Earth to come in. So he had a pair of orange Nike Shocks that he would always wear to the, you know, his doctor calls. And he always got really unsolicited feedback on those orange Nikes. So he decided that he'd call the gym Orange Shoe Gym. And everybody wears orange shoes. This is pre-Orange Theory. This is about 6 years before Orange Theory came on the scene down in Boca Raton. We always like to say that we've always had an affection towards the color orange and just helping people. So,
yeah, that's great.
We'll be right back after a short break. Hey, everybody wants to bring in more money and to save time, right? Well, our friends at Nomly are here to help you improve your gym's communications with clients and grow your business. Join more than 300 fitness coaches who are doing more business with less work. Nomly helps to systematize and simplify gym operations by centralizing member data and communications so gym owners can increase their customer lifetime value, improve staff efficiencies, and raise the bottom line. This centralized communications tool helps you in lots of ways. It helps you orchestrate referral programs at the push of a button, helps you hold clients accountable with built-in two-way texting, and it lets you rest assured that all your clients' messages are being handled properly. Schedule a free consultation today at nomly.com/optimal-aging-podcast. That's Nomly, nomly.com/optimal-aging-podcast. Back to the show.
So the philosophy of Orange Shoe, or the approach to fitness that you all take, tell me a little bit about it. Like when you say we're different because you have a pretty good selling point.
People say like, what's so different about Orange Shoe? I just say like, hey, do you know anybody that ever quit a gym or quit a workout or quit a diet? They're like, yeah, they chuckle. And I'm like, well, those are the people that we work with. And it's really about fostering a better relationship with movement. And staying really in tune with how your clients are changing, because how you define health and fitness is completely different than how I define it. You know, you're in a chapter of life than I am. And how I define it today at 40 years of age is completely different than what I did at 25, and completely different as a single 18-year-old male. Mm-hmm. So when you ask people, hey, like, what does success look like to you? Like, what are we giving each other a high five? You know, it's very customized to what they want. You know, a push-up is still a push-up. Our push-ups are no different than the gym down the road, but it's how we explain things. It's how we interact with our clients. It's very much a relationship-based business. So we're not trying to sell any like magic equipment or magic elixir. It's just good old-fashioned relationship building 101 and making sure that people are seeing the progress that they want to see and that they're enjoying themselves too. So it's not just this grudgingly, you know, thing that they have to do 3 days a week or 4 days a week. They actually look forward to coming to the studio.
So the environment is welcoming, it's nurturing, it's fun. Is that all fair to say?
Yeah, like tomorrow morning, like, you know, you have to kind of change things up every once in a while. So like tomorrow morning, we have a class called Recess. We only do it once a month, but I was an elementary Phi Ed teacher. So we just have all the clients bring in their kids and we do games. It's like a kind of a cardio game day. We'll do little Halloween giveaways. And like those kids, they've been asking all week, like, hey, is today the day we get to come to the gym? And it's like, you know, and if you can make someone's kid happy, like, I mean, that's pretty special. So, you know, we just have fun with it. Like it breaks up the monotony of the normal, you know, Monday through Friday workout routine. And we really look, if you ever read Chip and Dan Heath's book, Moments, it's how we create memories in our lives. There's a sequence to it. So like Recess for us is how we break the script, how we break that mundaneness of coming to the gym and working out. You know, there's other things that we do throughout the course of the months that we purposely do just to create those moments in their lives, in their time that they're coming to the gym. So, because it's really easy to get into a rut, even though like, hey, we changed the periodization, we've changed, you know, to the general population. They're like, oh, it seems like the same push-up that I did last week. I don't know if like, okay, right. We're doing tempo now, but it's still the same push-up. So you have to be intentional on breaking that script and not getting yourself into that rut with working with clients and yourselves, like, you know, getting yourself out of that routine a little bit.
Now you're appointment only, right? And you do one-on-one and small group training, right?
Yep. We do one-on-one. We do small group training. We do coaching, like habits coaching. So kind of, base that outline on, Atomic Habits, and just really, you know, I have a client that it makes no sense for her to be coming in working out. You know, she's skipping breakfast. She eats deli meat, crackers, and cheese all throughout the day. And then she has frozen pizza or macaroni and cheese for dinner, and she doesn't move. So how do you think that's going to look when she comes in and starts doing some squats and lunges? You know, she's going to leave. So we said, hey, we need to, like, there's a lot of things that we can accomplish your goals and get you healthy without ever coming back into the studio. So we just do coaching and get her, you know, start making environmental tweaks. So her environment is more supportive to the outcome that she wants, which is weight loss. And she never has to come into the studio today. Like, you know, that might change 3 months down the road where she wants to come into the studio. But for right now, like, it's not even a push-up, a lunge. Like, it's totally not the right timing for her. Like, we got to get, you know, the basics down. Like, just like, let's just move for 30 minutes. You know, let's just walk. You don't have to like pay me to move you for you. Like, just move. And she was really relieved to be able to do that and not have to come into the gym again.
It can be intimidating. It can be uncomfortable for people to come into a gym or a studio, right?
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, and for her, like, she's going to be able to drop the weight without ever lifting weights. You know, it's, you know, and then when she gets to that point, you know, she might have a different want, a different goal, and that's okay. Then it might mean coming into the studio and doing some resistance training or something. So.
Yeah, that reminds me of something I hear, you know, gym owners and studio owners talking about regarding older people. People are a little bit older, maybe over 50, 60, 70 years old, and they haven't been to a gym or a studio or whatever, maybe ever, and probably not in 30 years or so, you know, 40 years, because they've been working and raising kids and paying off the mortgage. And, you know, now they're at a stage in life where they've got more time and more money on their hands, and they realize they need to be in better shape to enjoy their lives in these next years and decades, right? But they're intimidated. It can be a lot. You know, you walk in there and there's a bunch of 25-year-old boys throwing weights around, and there's really loud music blasting everywhere. How do you go about welcoming people who are a little bit, maybe a little older, you know, maybe, how do you let them know that you have a good environment for them?
I think when people look on the website, we really work hard to have a genuine feel on our website. So that's where most people are looking. They're looking at reviews. They're looking online to see what, you know, what the people look like that are in the club. And then secondly, it's just, you know, it's like just treating people with respect. Like, you know, we don't turn the Beach Boys on when friggin' John comes to the, you know, called Beach Boy time. It's you know, we'll still have Eminem playing. We'll still have, you know, like friggin' Usher playing and all that good stuff. But it's, you know, they come in for an initial consult. It's just bodyweight movement. It's a meet and greet. Let's get to know you. You know, we don't do long-term contracts. Everything is on a month-to-month basis. So if you don't like us, fire us. Mm-hmm. And we've operated since day one. Like, I don't want to run a business where I can just lock you in and coast for 2 years and not help you. If I'm not valuable to you, Jay, freaking fire me, please. Mm-hmm. That's the way we have it. And, you know, some people would be like, hey, that's a crazy business model, but like, I don't know. We've done okay with it so far. And yeah. Kind of like, if you're not earning it, then why should somebody be paying for it?
Right. Well, it's a good way to look at it. So many gyms, you know, particularly the big boxes, at least the common idea is that they'll, you know, you join up for $10 a month or $20 a month and never go, right? And they're happy to take your money until the end of time.
Yeah, it's always it's an interesting concept, right? Or they'll sell you 100 sessions, and then you're on your 15th trainer by the time you complete those 100 sessions. You know, we just we didn't want to have those liabilities against the business. We want to be, you know, even Steven at the end of the month. And then we bill everybody on the first of the month and we have them like on auto bill. But if someone wants to stop their training, they can do it at any time. Yeah. You know, it's a people business before it's a push-up business, Jay. So it always has been and always will be.
I like that. Tell me about the demographics of your clientele. Are they everything from, you know, 20 to 80? Are they mostly 40 and above? Give me some kind of sense of that.
They're more, I would say that they're a little more mature in terms of, you know, late 30s going into like early 40s. Like we always have those outliers depending upon what market we're in that might be a little bit younger, especially like I told you before when we're talking, we're seeing a younger crowd come in like mid to late 20s because they haven't been doing anything for the last 18 months. So they feel like they're 75 maybe.
Yeah.
and need a little bit more hand holding. But, you know, at the end of the day, I remember this one guy, I remember him looking at me, this was a year ago. He's like, I want to find my forever gym. I don't want to like have to redo this relationship over and over again. Okay. And I think the challenge is, Jay, is that we take things for granted after a while. You take your clients for granted. You take that relationship for granted. So, you know, he's still a client here and now he's super excited because he's, you know, he doesn't have to redo that thing. And I think most of our clients, they're not looking to have to like, you know, start this new relationship with a gym every 6 months or 9 months. As long as you're valuable, as long as you're not taking that relationship for granted, regardless if someone's been with you for 15 days or 15 years, you know, you have to be valuable. Otherwise they do leave and they should.
Yeah. So how do the older clientele respond to that approach? Because I mean, it's kind of a guided question, I guess, because you know, I think that one of the main reasons gyms and studios should be pursuing older clientele is because of what you just said. They're more likely to stick around. You're 22, 25 years old. You want the cheapest deal. Your girlfriend starts working out over there. So you go over there. Your buddy gets, you know, a cheap deal across town. You change gyms all the time. You don't care. You just want the stuff, right? What's it like by the time, you know, you see someone who's a little bit older coming in?
I mean, like, here's the thing, like our older clients throw down. I mean, like they get after it. I mean, so when people are like, you know, this isn't silver sneakers on steroids, Jay, like this is like just people getting after it, but not everybody wants to get after it. So you have to understand who your client. I have a client right now. She's 62. I do this from time to time because I'm always kind of curious, but I had my 40-year-old client do what I had her do a week ago, and the 40-year-old client got through half the amount of work as the 62-year-old. Now I didn't tell the 40-year-old that because she just doesn't, you know, like she doesn't want to work as hard. But the 62-year-old, like she's down like I think 8 pounds. And I told her, I said, hey, like you did twice as much work as this 40-year-old. So like anytime I can tell somebody, hey, you just got through a workout that somebody 20, 30 years younger than you didn't get through, like I'm going to let them know that, and they get super excited because they can still improve. As long as you're breathing, you can still improve. You can get stronger, you can get more flexible, you can have better stamina. It's just you have to always, it doesn't matter if it's a 20-year-old or a, you know, 60-year-old, the movement has to be of quality.
Let's take a short break. We'll be right back. Hey, are you a fitness professional trying to grow your business with people over 50? If you are, then you need to know how to communicate with them, how to market to them, and how to get them to know you, like you, and trust you with their fitness and their money. We're talking about the baby boomers and more. People who are a little older and a little younger are still in this demographic slice that I'm talking about. People who are older than the typical client or prospect that gyms and studios go for. They have more time, more money, and better motivation to become excellent long-term fitness clients for gyms, studios, and trainers. PrimeFit Content is the only content marketing company designed specifically to help you engage people in this group and to distinguish yourself from competitors in your community. It's effective, it's easy to use, and it's super affordable. Check it out at primefitcontent.com. That's prime, like prime of your life, fit content, primefitcontent.com. Back to the show.
Do you do any sort of marketing or outreach or communications at all to let your communities know that they're going to find this kind of environment? And I promote communicating directly to older people and saying, hey, we want you here, showing that you are qualified and want their business. Do you do anything specifically for the older market? Or what, if not, what do you do in general? You know, do you have, I know you have Facebook and you have email newsletters and you have your website. Tell me more about your marketing.
I'd say it's a lot of our stuff is people see us geographically and they look us up, and then the website kind of tells a story. You know, we've done Facebook, Instagram marketing in the past. It's always kind of an interesting thing. In regards to the types of people that come in for a free week trial or just don't ever return your phone call or your email or text. So a lot of ours is just like, it's word of mouth. It's people that are actually just, you know, they're ready to make a change in their lives. But I'll get your feedback on this one, Jay. I was going to run this Facebook ad because it's irrefutable. It's a fact. You can train one-on-one for 17 years, one-on-one, twice a week, at least our rates you can, for the cost, for the national average cost of 1 year in assisted living.
Wow, that is fantastic.
But think about that. Like, what do you want to do? Because we're all going to get older, but how do you want to age? Do you want to have somebody, you know, helping you upstairs? Do you want to have somebody helping you into bed, off the couch? You know, or do you want to be kicking some ass, you know, come 68, 69, 72, 73, 74, because I would much rather, like, the clients, I just try to grab dinner with some clients. And they're already down Florida. They fly their own private jet. You know, he's like 72 years old and you have to be in shape because you have to climb up on the wing. You have to like haul that thing out on the, you know, the pull, like the tote and everything. I mean, you have to have good mobility to crawl up around that plane. And that's why he trains. So he can keep flying that plane back and forth between Wisconsin and Florida. So it's super funny.
That's fantastic. I find that so often that, you know, I don't know a lot. I do know some people who are, you know, in this age group who like to go to the gym just because they like to go to the gym. In fact, I like to go, and that's kind of my main reason. But more people, and I think the greater marketing opportunity for you all is to realize what you just said. That guy wants to do what he's doing. He happens to do something really cool and wild and fun and fabulous, right? But he also might just want to, you know, keep his garden up and play with his grandkids, put the groceries away, right? All kinds of things, everything from really cool motivation to just daily function.
Yeah, nobody, I don't think anybody ever wants to be dependent on another person for those daily activities. And that's just kind of the reality of it is like, if you don't move, you rust.
Yeah.
It's like, and so it's really helping people find what they enjoy in regards to movement, in regards to fitness. If you don't like doing burpees, then don't do them. There's other things you can do. Like, you can still be a very fit, healthy person and never throw down a burpee or a thruster or do bench press or push-ups. I mean, it's – or eat broccoli. Or, you know, there's lots of ways of finding health and vitality instead of doing the things that you really don't enjoy.
Right. Yeah, I hate burpees. Oh, my gosh. My trainer is always making me do them. And I guess they're good for you. They do get your heart rate up. But, man, I do not enjoy them. And – I hate to run. I've always been a really poor runner. I've never been confident at it, and I've never enjoyed it. I want to be a runner. I want to be able to run a 5K just because it's something to do this weekend, but just can't quite get there. Where do you see the industry now? Maybe just in your part of the country, maybe everywhere. We've all been through so much in the last 18 months or so. You're doing well. What kind of, I guess I'd like to hear some challenges and some successes that you've had that maybe people can learn from, you know, in making it through.
Yeah, I think in regards to the industry, I mean, we definitely retracted back. I mean, we went to the Mind Body Conference out in San Diego a couple weeks back, and it was at a much smaller venue than what they've had in years past. But they were very much talking about how COVID, and this is like their CEOs, their executive staff, and I think most people are familiar with who Mind Body is if you're in the fitness industry. Mm-hmm. Their executive said that COVID is going to, what took the health and fitness industry 20 years from like 2000 to 2020 to accomplish, is going to propel the fitness industry forward, you know, tenfold. So they think that what we would normally accomplish over probably in the next like 30 or 40 years, we're going to be able to accomplish in the next 10 years just because of people being more in tune to health and wellness and disease and things of that nature. And I agree with them, but it's also kind of one of those things where, you know, when you get what's the old saying, like time heals all things. So when the further people get away from the shutdowns and the pandemic, and the further, you know, the more months you're away from your business, you know, the impact on your business, I believe that, you know, people kind of tend to forget. They're like, oh yeah. So the fitness industry still needs to be able to customize things to what the clientele wants. And I think when you see business models that open up and are very one-dimensional, we only do this style of training, which I think is very prevalent. I think they're going to be very vulnerable to shifts in the market. And I think you'll see them get wiped out at a higher rate than business models that can pivot and kind of satisfy what the market is looking for at that time frame. Whether it's one-on-one training, whether it's functional fitness, whether it's high intensity training, whatever that might be. So
what's the big challenge that you have right now at Orange Shoe?
I mean, only one?
No, go for it. Go on, however many you have.
No, I think it's like anything. You know, we need to do a better job at showing our team members how they can progress through the organization, because every owner at one point was a trainer and a student. So we're very much organically grown outside of one husband, wife. She was, he was in the military and she was a marine biologist. They're kind of like transplants came up from Texas and Florida, but everybody else has been like, you know, a trainer, and like letting those trainers know, just like your clients, hey, here's how you can progress. Here's how you can evolve. And that's what we're working on right now, because if the team's not right, then the business isn't right. And it's always about the team. It's always about making sure that the team understands that there's room for growth, but they also know what they need to accomplish to be able to grow themselves. So it doesn't become I open the gym, I train my 5, 6, 7 hours and go home. Like, what am I doing with my life? You know, like one of those things after 12 months of training. So that's what we're working on. Just formulating those outlines and that framework.
That's great. So what's the goal for the next year or two for Orange Shoe, your primary growth initiative?
I mean, there's probably 3 or 4 trainers throughout the organization that, I mean, very well could open up their own studios. But for me, it's really making sure that each studio, like we said before we went on, that each studio owner is accomplishing what they want to accomplish, you know, with their teams, with their businesses, with their, you know, their finances. And just, you know, I've never got fixated on a number. We don't need 100 of these things or 200 of these things. You know, like if we have 11 and they're all very highly profitable and all the owners are extremely, you know, happy and then awesome. Like I don't need to force a certain number to inflate my ego. Then 11. There's people that want to grow. Then awesome. Let's have those conversations too. So
Okay, super. Tell me where people can go to learn more about you or Orange Shoe that you would like them to see.
Yeah, they can just check us out at orangeshoe.com. I think all the trainers and owners have their profiles on there. I would love to say that I have thousands of people following me on the gram, but I don't even have a... you'll be waiting a long time before Scott has an Instagram account. But I believe the locations all have their own Instagram account. But at the end of the day, if anyone wants to connect, they can just find me on the... They can shoot me an email, send me a message on LinkedIn, whatever, and I'll respond.
Okay, cool. Well, listen, it's been a pleasure getting to know you a little bit and learning about Orange Shoe. So thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, absolutely, Jay. You have a good rest of the day, too.
Okay. Bye.
Now it's time for three things I like this week. Number one, the Functional Aging Summit has been scheduled for next June 3rd and 4th in Denver, and I'm looking forward to it. The summit has been online during the pandemic, and I really miss gathering with so many smart, passionate fitness professionals dedicated to serving the over 50 market. Plus, it'll be nice to go back to Denver, where I went to high school and college. The summit is sponsored by the Functional Aging Institute, and they'll be posting more information at functionalagingsummit.com. Number two, your email list. That's right, your email list is one of my favorite things this week, and it should be one of your favorite things all the time. Facebook's outage showed us why. You know, too many small businesses are too dependent on Facebook, having neglected to grow their email list to communicate with their clients, prospects, and community. Don't let this happen to you. Use Facebook, of course, but also build your email list. It's yours. You always control it, no matter what happens with Facebook or anybody else. Number three, Bond, James Bond. The movie No Time to Die is finally in theaters, and I couldn't be more excited. You know, I was never much of a Bond fan until Daniel Craig took over with Casino Royale. And I think that was, 15 years ago? It's been a while. He made me a diehard fan. And sorry to all you fans of the other Bonds, but nobody does it better than Daniel Craig. And sadly, this is his last outing as 007, but I'm glad it's finally in theaters. Looking forward to seeing it. After the pandemic forced more than a year of delays. That's it for this week's edition of the Optimal Aging Podcast. I hope you enjoyed it, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Optimal Aging Podcast. I'm your host, Jay Croft, and I hope you enjoyed it. And if you did, I hope you'll subscribe, tell a friend, and write a review. All of that helps us grow our audience. I also hope you'll share any comments you have with me in an email or on social media, including suggestions for people I should interview or topics I should cover. You can learn more about me and my content business at primefitcontent.com. You can send me an email at jay@primefitcontent.com. That's J-J-A-Y at primefitcontent.com. I'm also on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. So find me anywhere you like and be in touch. And again, thanks for listening. Join us next time.